God's doing awesome things here at King's Fire, and it's such a joy to be back and to experience that intense time of worship, the presence of God so tangible, so strong, so powerful. I must commend the worship team, just like Pastor Joshua said, this doesn't just happen, but there was such a integrity in the sound. I just love that sound. I mean, I was thinking of Jeremy Payne, the bass, and we never think about the bass player. If it's anything, it's the lead. But I'm just so grateful. Yeah, these kids are now men, you know. I've been around here quite a few years, and I've watched them grow, you know. And it's just great. Your kids all on the platform playing, and it's just an amazing thing, such quality worship. And thank you for letting them go to music lessons and practice and... They're doing awesome. They usher in the presence of God for us, and I just so appreciate the worship team. Worship is an integral part of everything that we do as believers, because we are firstly lovers and worshipers of God. Before we do anything else, we are saved and brought into fellowship and relationship with Him. He is God, and He rules supreme in our lives, and we worship Him. And anyone that has never entered into worship, abandoned worship, just has never expressed their true heart of love. I love that woman that falls at the feet of Jesus and just weeps at His feet and pours that costly oil upon Him. You know, and I often think about that, because that is also really weird. To have someone fall at your feet and wash your feet with their tears. You know, it's not like normal. Yeah. And I don't know how... Jesus is very whole. I'm not whole. I would have like been looking for an usher to help me at that moment. It's like going beyond three hugs. It's, okay, thank you. Thank you. But Jesus is whole. He was whole and balanced, and when, like John lying on his breast, dude, someone's taking a picture of this, it's going to look weird. He didn't worry. Guy's painting a picture of the Last Supper, and everyone's gathered around John on his breast. He's quite comfortable. I'd be moving him off. Worship. And we are celebrating today and recognizing. I know when you came in, they gave you palm branches. And what a glorious event when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And the worship, the spontaneity. It wasn't orchestrated. It wasn't planned. It just happened. It was spontaneous. It was an eruption. I remember riding into a village in Togo, and I got there at about sunset. I should have got there at about 12. And eventually, through various breakdowns of the car, and, you know, Africa is Africa. It doesn't run on time ever. But even though I'm an African, I'm like an on-time African. And so I was feeling really stressed about being late. I mean, it's like I'm always early. And I'm never late. I know there's a song about God. He's never early, He's never late, He's always on time. I'm never late. I'm always early. And anyway, so we're running late. And as I came into town, the people broke out into celebration. And you got to understand, this was a village that was steeped in voodoo and witchcraft. And they'd heard about me coming to preach there. And the king of the area, the chief of the area, he had built a structure that seated 2,000 people with palm branches and sticks. It was huge. 2,000 people under there waiting from lunchtime for me to get there. And now I get there at 6 o'clock in the evening. And then along the street, they had people throwing palm branches. And I was like horrified. Like, you know, this isn't welcoming Leon, this is welcoming Jesus, you know? But I was horrified. Jesus was secure. She's riding into Jerusalem. People are throwing their coats, throwing palm branches. And the only ones that got upset were the religious. And I often think about that occasion, because when I went into that structure and I began to preach, God showed up in such power, so many miracles, so many healings, so many salvations. And they truly weren't welcoming me, though they did. They were welcoming Jesus in me. And the palm branches were for Jesus in me. And the shouts and the jubilation was for Jesus. And then it got even a little weirder, because as I got out the vehicle, women were standing with baskets of rose petals. And I mean, it was weird because I'm in the middle of the mountains. There's no roses around there. How they got buckets of rose petals. And they made a carpet into the structure of rose petals. And then I put it together. What they were doing is honoring the Lord. And when you honor God, then the favor of God is released in that atmosphere. And God showed up in tremendous power that day because of the honor that they showed. And that's what Jerusalem, that's what Palm Sunday is all about. It's giving God honor. Aren't you glad that He rode into Jerusalem and then later on went to the cross, later on came out of the tomb, but He did that for you and me. And today He rides into this place and He rides into your heart. And welcome Him and celebrate Him and worship Him, because He is truly worthy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want to speak about the subject that I've entitled Shine. Let your light so shine. Arise, shine for your light. Shine amongst them in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. Shine. All these scriptures come to mind, and I'll cover some of them as we get into today's message. I don't have long. Thank you for extending it for a few more minutes, which is very important, because where I want to go, I believe, is going to touch your lives. Last time, or the time before I was here, I spoke about going into a cave in Mount Elgon, Ketum it's called, and it's a famous cave in terms of the elephants that go there. It's a unique place in the whole world. The elephants go in there, and then with their tusks, they break the rocks, and they lick the salt. And it's also famous in the 80s. People got diseased because of the bat iguana and killed a couple of people. Anyway, I went there not knowing about the bat iguana killing people. I went there with excitement, hoping that I would see elephants, hoping that I wouldn't see elephants, because the path into the cave is very narrow and there's no place for an elephant and a human being. And I just wasn't in the mood to push elephants off the cliff. It was already hot and I didn't want to break out into a sweat. I went into the cave, and if you're scared of bats, you would have been freaked out. The place was covered in bats and the floor was covered in what bats put on the floor. Anyway, I went to the back of the cave because I'm an explorer. There's no ways I'm going to stay in the front of the cave. I'm going to go to the back of the cave. And more bats flew out the further I went in. And I had this little mini mag. Before we had smartphones, we used to, as guys, dudes, we carry flashlights, mini mags. Have it on your key ring, have it in your backpack. You have your Bible, you have your mini mag. If you're a missionary, that's what you have. Now you just have a phone. And it does everything for you, except make coffee. So I'm working on that design. It's going to come out soon. So I get to the back of the cave, and I got these armed guards with me. There were four of them and the commissioner. The commissioner is like he's like the head of security of the army, the military, everything, and he's with me and these four guards, AK-47s, and I'm the only one with the flashlight. And because I'm a jokester, I always do something, and I put off the flashlight and I said, "It's broken. It's broken." And these guys, all you see are these white eyes glowing in the dark, fear, you know, like, ah! Because there's no way out that cave. It's a dangerous path with huge drop-offs. In fact, if you study the cave, elephants have fallen down and died. They can't get up, especially the young calves. So then I put my flashlight on. I said, just kidding. And then suddenly I had four AKs aimed at my head. And they said, never joke again. And what do you say to someone holding an AK-47 at your head? You say, yes, sir. But the moment I put on that light, and it was so dark, I couldn't see my hand here. And so as I put on my light, I realized that a mini mag is so powerful that the darkness of the cave has to be pushed away. The darkness cannot overpower the light. And that revelation hit me. But the truth is that, you know, our lives, even the weakest of us, are more powerful than the darkness of the world that we're living in. And we are not just carriers of light and reflectors of light, but Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He calls us what He is. We don't just carry the light, but we are the light. And the first words ever recorded in the Bible where God spoke, the first words that God said is, let there be light. And when He said, let there be light, you've got to understand the earth was without order. It was in chaos. It was a state of chaos. As He said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit, the Word, let there be, or light exist. And as you know, God is light. Yes. And in Him there is no darkness. God is love. But as light said, let there be, the Spirit of God moved and the world came into divine order. Which made me think of this combination of the Word of God, the moving of the Spirit of God, and the change that produces. Every time you speak the Word into an environment by the Spirit of God, every time you speak the Word of God into an environment by the Spirit of God begins to move and starts to recreate or reform or align or bring into order. That's why when the prophet was taken in the Spirit to the Valley of Dry Bones, he prophesied to the bones, and he prophesied to the winds, and as he did that, the Spirit moved, and the bones came together, and flesh was added, and sinew was added, and life was added into them, and they stood as a great army. The Word of God in your mouth is like God Himself saying, let there be light and change, order, power is released. Never minimize the power of the Word of God in your mouth in a dark situation. As you pray, as you prophesy, as you share the Word, the light of God is going into that environment. That's why the Bible says the entrance of God's Word brings light and understanding, because the Spirit of God begins to move in that environment and brings an alignment to conform with the will and the promise of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let there be light. And the light was good. And then God separated the night and the day. He started to put things into divine order. Now listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light when at creation to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me put that to you in very plain, simple language. The God of creation is the God of the new creation. And when the gospel is received in your heart, the God who said, let there be light, He is the one who has caused the light of the gospel to penetrate your life, and it brings into you divine order, the new creation. Yes. The old has passed away. All things become brand new because of the power of the Word. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For in it is the what? The righteousness of God is revealed. The power of God is released into a life, into a soul that brings them from a state of being dead in their trespasses and their sins, in darkness, to life, to light, to freedom. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And remember the Word, the promise, the Spirit moving, and then order. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, light and life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Jesus is the light of the world. And the darkness cannot overpower it or extinguish it. But today, you and I, as followers of Jesus, born of God, the new creation, are the light of the world.
Yes.
And He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. You don't hide the light. The light is made to be visible. And I want to speak about that. I'm going a different direction from the first session. So if you weren't here in the first session, you may want to get on and watch it, because I'm going a different direction this one. So who was here in the first session? Well, you're going to get a different version of the same, differently. I want you to notice that we are to let our light shine.
Yes.
It's the arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You're living in a society that is very dark, but the light is upon Israel. The light is upon the church. The light is upon you. The light is you. And you are to shine in that world. Even though there is deep darkness over society, over the world, you are carriers of the life, the love, the power, and the Word of God. You are the agents of God's new creation, the agents of God's power that is released into this world. Yeah. I was sharing in the first session, this pastor, a Zambian pastor, in January I did the Overland Conference, and Phil got up and shared the story about the Zambian pastor who had been in a meeting with one of the team, and the guy who went was just a young guy, probably wearing just shorts, t-shirt, and a cap and a backpack, you know, the overlanders. And he's in this village preaching to pastors, which initially you think, well, that's weird, a kid preaching to pastors. But, you know, the Word of God in the mouth of a young person is as powerful as the Word of God in a seasoned preacher. Because it's not the age that gives the authority, the experience that gives the authority. It's the Word that's the authority in itself. That's why Paul said, don't let them despise your youth. And so I didn't think it's weird, it's just different. A kid preaching to men. Some of them probably have paid a great price to be pastors. They've suffered to get to that place. And here is this young kid preaching. And he's talking about the present working of the Spirit of God. And this one Zambian pastor was schooled differently. Not that many of them are schooled, but he was taught that when the apostles died, the working of miracles and healings ceased unless it was God's will. Never realized that the present working of God operates through believers. And so he was sitting and pondering these things. Anyway, after the meeting, he goes back home. And that very night at about 9 o'clock, his daughter, who is pregnant, close to giving birth, some complications set into her body and she dies. And the village hears about it. They light the fires. They start mourning. And I think it was about 5 hours later, suddenly he thought about the words of this young preacher that God is able, just like we were singing, that God's watching over his promises to perform. God is able. And he's thinking about these things and he's wondering if what this young man said is true. Remember, the entrance of God's word brings light. And now the darkness, the confusion, the blindedness is being displaced by the revelation light. And so he takes a bold step of faith for him, based on the words of a young man. And this is critical because the word of God in your mouth and my mouth is no different to that young man. And in reality is no different to God who commanded the light, because now we are carriers of that word, that creative force everywhere we go. And like Ezekiel prophesying to those bones, the Spirit of God begins to move. So he goes in and he lays his hands on his dead daughter, the dead baby in her womb, and he commands the life of God. And she sits up, healed, raised by God instantly. Now, I heard the story, but I went from there to connect. Yeah, give God a shout of praise. I finished there and I jumped on the next plane and I flew to Connecticut in January. I mean, whoever goes to Connecticut in January? It's the same as coming to upstate New York in late December. Yeah, who does it except me? Anyway, I go in there and I'm telling the story, and one of my own team, Lori Devine, is in the meeting, and after the meeting she comes up with her smart device, and you know, this is a photo album as well as a coffee maker and a phone and a tool for communication and all sorts of cameras and recorders and all kinds of things. And she comes with her photo album and she says, check this out. And she says, here I am with that pastor. There's his daughter and there's the baby. I was in that pastor's church ministering. So this isn't just a story told by Phil. This is a story verified by Lori, who went and met with that woman, with that child, with that pastor, with that village, and ministered there. This is not some kind of just like story. This is a reality. But the point that I want to make is that the light entered him, and then he became a conduit or a carrier of that light into that world of darkness, and it released the change of God into her body, into that baby's body, into that village, into their lives. How many of you know they will never be the same? And the word of God in our mouths is very powerful. God who commanded the light. When you share the gospel, when you engage in the good works, and I will touch on that very briefly. What are the good works? Let them see your good works. Shine. Let them see your good works. What are our good works as followers? We know we're not saved by our good works. Otherwise, we'd have to be really busy. We'd have to keep our meetings real short, because we need to get out there and work, 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 so that maybe we can make it. But the Bible says if it was based on works, our best works would be as soiled rags. They would be insufficient to give us a standing before God. So we are not saved by our works. We are saved by the work that Jesus alone did on the cross when He died for our sins and settled the debt that we could not pay. However, there are good works that we do.
Yes, sir.
Paul put it this way, we are not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. However, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. The equippers, the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, are called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So the work of ministry is the good works. So everything that we do is being attributed to our eternal account. Not for entrance, that's done by the blood of Jesus, but for reward. We sung about casting our crowns. Well, what is our crowns? They are the rewards. If you don't have a crown, you've got nothing to place at His feet. There are things that God has called us to do. Things that we are to be engaged in, which is our responsibility as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Yeah. Jesus was faithful in all of God's house. We are to be faithful in God's business. And I want to talk about these good works because that's how we arise, shine. Let your light so shine. What is our light? Our works that we do reveals the work of God in us. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 it says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You were once in darkness, now you are in the marvelous light, but you are not just in the marvelous light, you are light itself. And everything that you do is a revelation of what God has done in you. Amen. So when you give and help someone, that is good works. When we go in and we dig a well, it's good works. Mm-hmm. The churches I'm building now in India, I'm not building a church unless I can put a well on the grounds. Because I don't want it just to be a building where believers gather. I want to bring the village to the gathering place. Yes. And if I put a well there, which cost me only $800, I bring the village to the church building. Amen. And we have a voice to that populace saying that we're not just here to gather and worship and pray to our God just like you go to your gods. Notice their temples have nothing to offer the people. It's just a place they go to. But here's a place where we've got something for you, access to safe drinking water. It's good works. Do you know right now in Africa, there are about 20 million people whose lives are at risk? Which, you know, in the light of the world population doesn't sound much, but what if those were your sons, daughters, grandkids, your brother, sister, your uncle, your aunt, your mother, your father? It wouldn't just be 20 million. That would be, And in those 20 million, there's a future president who's not going to be corrupt. There's a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, a mother, a father. And how will they be fed? Are we just going to leave everything to the United Nations? Are we going to leave everything to organizations that are just really taking a lot of money and about 20% actually getting to the cause? When Matthew flew into Nepal, there were these crates of water and food and medicines sitting on the runway, and the humanitarian guys are just lazing about in the hotel, doing nothing. It's just sitting there for days. Days became weeks. And they just putting out word, get money to us. We're doing a work in Nepal, but it's all just sitting on the runway, nothing getting to the people. You can't go by the photos. And but when the church goes in, we're not after the money. We just go and do a job. Matthew flew in with $22,000, $3,000. I gave him $3,000. Well, that doesn't go a long way. He bought up what he could for $3,000 and began to distribute it. And then the law of sowing and reaping kicks in. And about $300,000 later, we're building schools, medical clinics, all different things are taking place. Just because of the grace of God. But what that did was give us an entrance into that community. Good works will give you an entrance into a community. I remember one day I went into this village that had been flooded. And I began to help dig out the bodies. We began to help rebuild the homes. And it was weird because I had this truck. It was a bright, ugly, bright green, but it was given to me. No offense, but it was about the color of your green T-shirt there. You know, for a car, that's great as a T-shirt. Let me qualify in case you're a lawyer and you think I'm, you can sue me. It's a great color T-shirt, but it's a miserable color for a car, especially for a guy and a missionary at that. So I've got this bright green car. We call it a bucky in South Africa. You'd know a bucky. And I drive into this village with my team. When we got into the river, it was deeper than we thought. And so we just kept driving. And you know, if you're a mechanic, you cannot drive because the airflow, you have to have a snorkel. We didn't have a snorkel. We just kept driving. And it never conked out on us. We drove right through the river, came up on the other side, opened the doors, let the water out. And we baptized that car that day, and we called it the Green Submarine. It was a miracle because, you know, they're just not made to ride underwater. You start getting worried when you... Anyway, we moved into that village and we started to help the people. And because of our good works, the witch doctor got saved. The chief got saved. The people got saved. We planted a church in that village. I didn't go to plant a church specifically. I went to help people. I just helped people, not just so I have an audience. I help people because God loves people and He's told us to help people in their suffering, in their pain. But at the same time, they then start asking you about why you're there. What brings you here? Yeah, the one guy said, my pastor, there was a guy, he was a believer, there was a Dutch Reformed church. There was a Dutch Reformed church in that village. He said, when the floods came, our pastor got in his car and he drove away. And you came driving in. He said, what's wrong with this? Why did he leave us when he should have been here? I said, I can't answer for him. But I know that God spoke to me and told me to come and help you.
Yeah.
And I had favor in that village by my good works. Your good works, when you help the suffering, gives you a platform into their lives. And, you know, when you look at the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the one thing when the apostles met him, they said, now we want you to remember the poor. And he said, this is the very thing I wanted to do. And the modern day church doesn't really care for the poor like we used to. The early church was very much about good works. And it's something that we've got to keep as a priority. I know you guys have a place here for clothing and food. You're doing it. And there are a lot of churches that do nothing to touch their community. And that's why you have favor with society, because of your good works. Another way that we do good works is to share the gospel. I don't have time to go into all the scriptures, but the Apostle Paul, when he had his Damascus Road encounter, as you know, he was riding on the road and he saw a bright light. In the light, he was changed. In the light, he gained vision. And God birthed him in the Spirit and then commissioned him to go into the world and preach the gospel. Later on, years later, he would meet with King Agrippa, and he spoke about, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. But rise, stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you. Jesus doesn't appear to any one of us just so that we can avoid hell and make heaven. He always has a purpose and a plan for our lives. You may not see a bright light, But you, when you believe the word of God, it's no different to Saul's Damascus Road encounter. It's no less authentic, it's no less real than his. And then he says, I'm going to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things that I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. To what? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified in me. Now here is the thing. Anyone who is not born again is in darkness. Anyone who is not born again is dead in their trespasses and in their sins. And when you as a carrier of the light and the message of light, because that's what the gospel is, the entrance of God's word brings light. And Jesus said, I'm sending you to turn them from darkness to light. Well, the message turns them from darkness to light. When you carry the gospel, then what you're doing is you're bringing people from death to life. They may have pulse, they may have heartbeat, they may have temperature, but in terms of their spirit, they are dead. And then he says that you'll cause the power of Satan to be broken off their lives. This is what we don't understand. Our relatives, our family, our friends, and people don't want to hear this, but I can only share what the Word says. They are under the control of the devil. You may say, well, they're very nice people. Well, the devil can masquerade like an angel of light. And he'll use very nice people. But if you're not saved, you are not under the power of God. And so what you're doing is you're a carrier of God's deliverance, bringing people from the chains and the bondage and the prison of hell and death, darkness to life. Very powerful, the responsibility that is upon our lives. And so you're a carrier not only of the light to shine, but you're a carrier of the message, just like Ezekiel prophesying over those bones. When you carry the gospel, the dead are brought to life and brings change into that environment. It says concerning Paul and Barnabas, on the next Sabbath they went in, the whole city gathered together to hear the word of God. And when they saw the multitudes, the Jews, they were filled with envy and contradicted and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. When Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Just like they were set as a light, we have been set as a light. The gospel is what we should be committed to. The least of us, the youngest. You may be a mini-mag Christian, but when you share the gospel, the darkness is displaced. The power of God is released. And you can bring change to your world. It says that anyone who is outside of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. How does it shine on them? But it's got to shine through you. When you shine in that place, God is shining on them and breaking the power of the God of this world who blinds them. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear unless we shine? Yes. So let's do what Isaiah says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Even though there's deep darkness over the earth, the power of light is stronger than the darkness of the world that we live in. You're a carrier of light. Let your good works be seen. Let your message of salvation be heard, and choose to be a carrier of change to this generation. Let's stand, let's pray. Tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be back here. I would perceive that we'd have just a short time of praise and worship. We'll get straight into the Word quickly.
Yes.
And I truly believe for the least of you. Listen, I don't know what's happening in the sport world. I think the Masters is playing. I don't know if the Final Four is finished. I'm really not in touch with things. But I want to say this. If I'm to be a voice of authority to this church, I want you to come. And I'll tell you why. Unless you are plugged in and switched on, the light's not going to shine. People that are plugged in and switched on, they will shine. The others, you can have all the potential to shine. But unless you have a source of power and it's connected, switched on, nothing is going to happen in your life. That pastor could have heard the word that signs follow believers. And he could have said, I can't do this. And his daughter would not have been raised. You have to do something with what you've got. And I want to continue this message tonight, because it's critical for your life, for the influence of this church, for the community at large. So I want to strongly urge you to make the time. I will keep it short, sharp. I will not waffle, I'll not drag it out. It won't be a late night if you've got kids. I'll make it short, sharp. By the time you've watched CNN and done your Facebook thing, I'll be finished. Let me pray. How many of you are stirred in your heart concerning your life making a difference? Quick question, and then I'll close. If you feel like, you know, I know that I'm the light of the world, but I've not been shining, and Leon, my life has been challenged, would you please pray with me? Would you wave your hand at me? I want to pray for people today, specifically for your life to be ignited again all over this place. Lord God Almighty, supreme authority in the universe, may we all decrease that you might increase in us. May every God that has control of our lives, that's not the true and living God, be cast down and shattered, so that you alone would rule and reign supreme on the throne of our will. We bow before your lordship and acknowledge that you are our God. And like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, we say from this moment, we refuse to bow to any other God. You alone will we worship. You alone will we serve. Now, God, would you touch these lives and reignite them with the passion of first love? Would you fill them with your glory and with your power, and touch them and revive them in their faith, in their ministry, in their prayer life, in their anointing, in the gospel, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a shout of praise.
Amen, amen, amen.